This is the Sony Cycle Record Spin. Los herederos. Inheriting culture in the digital age. This is the Sony Cycle Record Spin Patio Edition. We are on air, estamos al aire, en vivo, desde Forest Hills, Condado de Queens, Ciudad de Nueva York, para toda la galaxia.
Jawani, oh, bindi.
And this is the Sony Cycle Record Spin Patio Edition. And okay, this is Mixed Tea right here once again. This is our third show right here in the patio. For those who hasn't been able to listen to us, I'm gonna tell you a little bit of the story of this patio edition. We've been moving around Queens the last, let's say last year, 1 year, last summer and part of the winter. We were in Jackson Heights in a nice basement where we placed our Sony Cycle. The Sony Cycle is our movable sound system. It's a like a trailer that we built with recycled parts, and we make it to place turntables so we can take it wherever we want, and we have music wherever we want, and we get connected to the people in different neighborhoods, mostly in Queens. So that's why we were in Jackson Heights last season, let's say. We call it the Basement Sessions. And now we move to Forest Hill, and different and also a very special kind of neighborhood, more like a family neighborhood, more quiet, big houses, big trees and parks. So we came to this place because Alejandro, the cameraman and the designer and editor of Los Herederos, he's part of this team. So he lives here in this neighborhood, so he has a big house, and he let us take over his patio, his backyard. And well, here we are, trying to get connected with the people that listen to us, trying to get connected through music and culture. And that's what it's all this about, getting closer, not physically in moments that it's not possible, because since all we all know we're in a like in a really crazy times with this pandemic, but we keep on going, keep on working, and keep on trying to have like a good time, and you know, also get connected and get to know and learn about cultures different cultures, the diasporadic cultures and music. So we're gonna have a very, very special guest today. I'm gonna talk about him in a little bit. So we started listening to some music, Caribbean music, African music, some pirate records pressed in Colombia. And this is the Sony Cycle Record Spin Patio Edition. In seconds, I'm gonna be letting in our executive director. She's Naomi, she's over the phone, and she's gonna be sharing with us a little bit about all this that we're doing here. So it's just gonna be a minute. I remind you guys, people that are listening, we are live, so be patient if something goes wrong, but we're here and everything's flowing, so let's put it up. Okay, everybody, this is the Sony Cycle Record Spin. We're in Forest Hills, Queens, and we are like 95 degrees Fahrenheit degrees. Celsius degrees would be like 35, almost 40 degrees, casi 40 grados centígrados. Está duro el calor, pero estamos disfrutando aquí de la música y de la compañía. Y bueno, hace un momento hacía la introducción en inglés, contando un poquitito de lo que se trata todo esta historia. Si ustedes no han seguido nuestras redes, arroba los herederos, arroba Radio Mixticius, esto es una alianza entre la Fundación de Sin Ánimo de Lucro Los Herederos, que está radicada aquí en la ciudad de Nueva York, y la radio web independiente Radio Mixticius. Yo soy Mixti y estamos en Forest Hills. Esta es la edición del patio. Hace el verano pasado y en el invierno tuvimos un par de sesiones en Jackson Heights, en otro vecindario diferente, también muy rico culturalmente, un vecindario que tiene una población inmigrante muy amplia de diferentes partes del mundo, tanto de Latinoamérica como de Asia. Y estábamos allí en ese vecindario y allí hicimos un par de sesiones con diferentes DJs también. Nuestra idea con Los Herederos es compartir un poco y acercarnos a las culturas a través de la música y de las historias que traen los DJs y los melómanos y los que están interesados en conectarse con esas culturas a través de la música. Entonces estuvimos en Jackson Heights, ahora nos movimos hacia Forest Hills, un vecindario diferente, más callado, más tranquilo, más familiar, y aquí estamos en el patio. Por eso es de Patio Edition, el patio de una casa. La casa es donde vive Alejo, otro de los miembros de Los Herederos, el editor y el editor, diseñador gráfico y camarógrafo. Y bueno, aquí todos hacemos de todo. Entonces, ese es Alejo, él vive en este barrio y afortunadamente tuvimos la oportunidad de tomarnos este patio y setear nuestro Sony Cycle, que es este trailer construido con piezas recicladas en donde podemos llevar nuestra música donde queramos. Por eso nos vamos moviendo de vecindario en vecindario. Así que aquí estamos disfrutando de este sol. Y como les decía, we got Naomi, our executive director, over the phone because she wasn't able to be here in person, but she's here. She's here. So I want to say hi to Naomi. Let's see if she's listening to me. She's over the phone. Naomi, hey.
Hi.
Yeah, we're live, Naomi.
Okay. Great. Hey, hi.
Okay, well, welcome to the Sony Cycle Record Spin, Naomi.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah, me too. Well, Naomi, you are the executive director of this beautiful non-profit organization called Los Herederos. So you're here to tell us a little bit about the story and a little bit about what's going on with Los Herederos and some important information. So where do you want to start?
Well, I guess we can just start off very quickly noting for those, you did a great job introducing the general show, but just noting for those who may not be familiar specifically with Los Herederos, we are a New York City-based nonprofit organization, and you can find out more about us at www.losherederos.org. That's www.losherederos.org. And, you know, since this show is bilingual and in Spanglish, let's just make sure for our English language listeners that they also are aware that Los Herederos means the inheritors in English. And so our slogan is inheriting culture in the digital age. And we are a media arts organization that uses transmedia and documentary storytelling to do just that, to educate for a more equitable, just, and sustainable society, we say. So we're committed to inheritors, or those people that aren't, as we all are, inheritors of tradition and culture in the beautiful, diverse world in which we live, and very much so in New York City, to telling those stories through digital means. So this radio show, the Sony Cycle Record Spin, is one of our many programs that gets at doing that work. And so we're very grateful to Radio Mixtitious for being our production partner on this, and, you know, for being able to start doing web radio. And I'd also like to thank our funder, who is sort of like an underwriter or a supporter for these next three sessions. They've been a longtime supporter of the organization, and they are the Citizens Committee for New York City. They had a COVID relief grant program called All in the Neighborhood, which we were lucky enough to be a recipient of. And so those funds are going to tell unique stories of diasporadical DJs here in New York for the next three Sundays live on Radio Mixtitious.
Awesome. Well, Naomi, so we're going to listen to some music to get the people engaged. In a few minutes, we're going to be with our guest with the interview, but you have couple of things more to say. So what if we listen to some music and then we get back to you, all right?
Okay.
Okay, this is the Sony Cycle Records Spin. The Sony Cycle Records Spin, and we are Los Herederos and Radio Mixtitious. We are broadcasting live. And here we are, some music from Luanda, mixed with London and, Africa, Latin America. Busy Twist. Yes, yes, yes. Here we are. This is the Sony Cycle Record Spin. El, ¿cómo sería esto? Me gustaría saber, intentar traducir esto en español. El girador de discos sónico bicicleta. Eso estaba medio raro. Pero bueno, the Sony Cycle Record Spin. We're broadcasting live. And we are broadcasting from Forest Hills, Queens, and we are with our executive director, who has very important information for everybody to share with us. So Naomi, can you again? Let's try. Hola, hola. Naomi, can you hear me? Okay, here we are. So I'm going to go back to you, Naomi.
Okay, great. So one of the things that we're trying to do with the Record Spin is share stories of a growing scene in New York City, which is this diasporadical DJ scene we talk about, which our special guest today is a budding and important member of. But the other thing we're trying to do by having a web radio show is to build social cultural awareness, wellness, and community during this pandemic when we can't all be together. Like, for example, I'm here on the phone today, but we want to use radio and music as ways to connect and make people feel less isolated and, you know, connected to the things that keep us going culturally and spiritually and as human beings in New York City. And so we hope that through our descriptions, you know, that Andres is doing, and I as well, that we're able to transport you to a patio in Forest Hills or at some other point, maybe to a basement or a rooftop or some of these very unique informal urban spaces that New Yorkers use to be creative, right? So that's one of the things that we're trying to do through this show. And then the other thing is use it as a messaging platform to get information about different happenings in our hood and with our neighbors out there to you. So we have the COVID community bulletin, and I'm going to read that off. We're going to have this at each show. And hopefully, if you have questions, feel free to reach out to Los Herederos directly through any of our social media handles at Los Herederos NYC or via our website, as I said before. And we really want to keep community partners in dialogue. So for our community bulletin today, we just wanted to give a shout out to our friends and longtime creative partners over at Terraza 7. Terraza 7 is in a community anchor, a very special local watering hole that's located in Jackson Heights and has been serving the borough of Queens in alternative music and culture for decades. They, as many small businesses, were really brought to their knees by the pandemic, having to close, and that had a ripple effect. It affected artists' ability to play and, you know, many people's ability to work. They are reopened now, and like many, according to the new laws in New York City, have outside seating and service, and they've even brought musicians and DJs outside and been able to plug in that way. So Terraza, I think, is known over the decades for reinventing itself. This is certainly not the first time that the organization or really any of our businesses in our communities in Queens have responded to crisis. We've been in crisis on and off for decades, but the pandemic has been really rough, and we want to suggest that you guys get out and support them, take advantage, whether that's just walking by, stopping for a drink, or following them on social media. They're really leading the way in that charge. The second note was we wanted to give an homenaje or pay homage to a really important tradition bearer and Afro-Colombian artist from the Pacific Coast, Diego Obregón, who very tragically passed away last week. And we've been posting a lot of information about him. We worked with him through Los Herederos in our inheritors profile, as well as through many other programs, personal and professional. He was a true master of the marimba. He had gone back to Colombia and then, you know, recently passed away, as I said. But as, you know, our nation and really the world is rising up in the movement for Black life, we think it's also really important to recognize these master artists who have contributed immeasurably to the music scene, the Latin music scene in New York. And Mr. Obregón was definitely one of them. Now, in terms of COVID, we know that the city is reopening. We know that there have been a lot of people providing different services through food pantries and PPE and different medical services. But some folks are really still suffering due to being out of work, lack of access to, you know, income, and then thus food and other sustaining things that they need to live. So we also want to give out a shout out to our friends over at the COVID Care Network and also Together We Can, who are two collective organizations in Jackson Heights who have been doing great delivery of food services, similar to what Los Herederos was doing with Cabrini Ambient Services a couple of months back. But now they have some new programs. So they are also supporting families with access to social workers, SNAP benefits, and job support and other services. So if you need help with a resume, you need help with job placement, you actually, you know, are still in need of food, you can contact them. And they have an email, which is simply all one word, togetherwecanrc@gmail.com. That's togetherwecanrc@gmail.com. They are bilingual, se puede hacer en inglés o en español, la comunicación. And they can help you out with a lot of services in these what continue to be really trying times. So number four, before I turn it back over to Andres, we also want to give a shout out to our DJs in the scene in New York, a lot of whom have been really holding it down through virtual events and now are starting to get out and about in the community. And we want to give them a shout out too. And we request that you really do try to follow them on social media. Think about even donating to some of the causes and the things they're doing, because artists, performers of all kinds have just been really, really hurt by this stuff. So a big shout out to Names You Can Trust, who has been a record label and a partner with the Sonny Cycle and our radio programs for a long time. They've got their Swindling series that's continually uploaded to their website that you can enjoy. And check out some of the aid work they've been doing through the sales of their records. You can purchase certain records and support certain immigrant and ethnic groups who have been suffering around the globe due to COVID. And with our guest today, who Andres is going to introduce in a minute, the one and only infamous Mickey Perez, he's got some events coming up too. On 7/23, he's got his Bibaparu at Casa Nomad. And then on 7/25, he's got Rhythm Section Saturdays also at Casa Nomad. So try to follow those events, come out and support. And I think from what you hear today in his interview and his set, you'll probably be as hooked and as in love as we are and want to attend all of his events. So, Andres, back to you. Anything else?
All right, Naomi. I think that's it for now for the information in bulletin. Very important information for the people who listen to us to get connected with all our partners and our surrounding projects. So thank you very much, Naomi. We're going to, in a couple of minutes, we're going to be right here with Mickey Perez. And we're going to listen to one more song of this London-Luanda connection, the Busy Twist, the Galletas Calientes records. And Naomi, thank you very much. So we'll see you soon, all right?
All right. Sounds good.
Okay. So keep on listening.
Okay. I'll be listening too.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
Yes, yes. All right. Shout out to Naomi. Thank you very much. Our executive director of this great and beautiful nonprofit organization. And okay, this is the moment of the interview. We're going to be chatting with our guest. His name is Miki Perez, or Miki Perez, as known as Miki Perez. We're gonna be getting to know a little bit of his story around music. He's a son of the diaspora, definitely, because his parents are from Ecuador and Cuba, so his background is really strong. We're gonna get to know about how did he get into music and records and becoming one of the most active DJs in the scene right here in New York City. And he's been traveling around, also has to do a lot with the music in Chicago and Miami. So a lot of stories, a lot of background, a great background. So here he is with us. He is Miki Perez. Miki, I'm gonna turn on your microphone and say hi.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
You can hear me?
We can hear you. Yeah.
Beautiful.
All right. Welcome, Miki. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure.
Likewise, man.
We finally had the opportunity to get together. We were planning this since last summer.
I remember, man.
Remember?
I was bummed I couldn't make that one.
Yeah. But we made it. And this one, I think it's more, let's say, more special maybe because we are in tough times. So it's a very good time to get together. In times that we're like living like this particular kind of life, with not getting close, not getting to having the opportunity to go to clubs and to listen to music together, but we keep the music life.
Absolutely, I think in these times, any kind of distraction, a positive distraction is needed.
Definitely. So, Miki, Let's get to know a little bit about your story in your life, because you were born in Chicago.
I was born in Chicago, yeah.
But parents from Cuba and from Ecuador.
Yes.
Right? Did you have some musical story with your family coming from Latin America, which in Cuba especially, that it's very strong, like the cultural, like musically?
There was always a massive connection that my dad's side of the family had with music, specifically Cuban music, but none of them were ever musicians. I didn't have any kind of musician background in either side of my family, but my dad's side of the family were a lot of dancers, and they were very conscious. Like, we would have parties when I was super young, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old. Parties with you know how it goes.
Yeah.
Parties with like your parents and your parents' friends, and it's like a bunch of little kids, but everyone's just hanging out, you know. And the earliest influence for me that I saw with them and their influences with music was like Celia Cruz, for sure, Benny Moré, and then Michael Jackson.
Is that what you remember when you were little and going to these reunions? And this is what you remember being small, listening to all this?
Yeah, I would say if it was like, if I was going to like a party that my parents' friends or anything like that, I would say just Latin music. And in my memory, I would say like 70s salsa, probably.
Because
this was like, we're talking like mid-1980s, because I was born in 78.
You were born in 78. I was born in 77. We are the same generation.
That's what's up, man.
Okay, you were born in Chicago.
In Chicago,
okay. And did you get involved with music being there, or until what age you were in Chicago?
I was there till I was almost 12. So in 1990, I moved to Miami.
Okay.
So I did not get into any like music class or anything like that. But funny enough, when I was in fifth grade, 10 years old, my older brother was a huge heavy metal fan. That's a gigantic wasp.
He's a visitor.
He was a huge fan of heavy metal, and he introduced me to Metallica. I remember he showed me the music video for One by Metallica.
Yeah.
The 7 minutes. And he introduced me to Headbangers Ball. So that to me was like a major like influence, because from that one video, I started getting into different heavy metal.
Okay.
And but the bad part was my mom finding out about it and thinking it was devil worshiping music.
Devil, of course.
So I had to start liking like Guns N' Roses and Warrant and Skid Row, you know, like the corny kind of rock.
Yeah.
So then in Miami, we moved, and it was a completely different world, Miami, than Chicago, in terms of like, because I lived in the city till I was 7, and then my parents moved us out to the suburban Chicago for the last 4 years I was there. So it was me, one other kid from Ecuador, and one black kid, and that was it, you know? Then we go to Miami, and it's like nothing but Latin people of all shapes and sizes, like blonde hair, blue eyes, but they're Colombian or Cuban, you know, or Brazilian.
Like the diaspora right there, right?
Yeah, I mean, you had black and you had white.
Yeah.
And most of them spoke Spanish. And if they weren't, they were Caribbean, like Haitian or Jamaican, you know? So like the Miami influence to me, the music is when it kind of really started. Metallica was like the first. Actually, let me take
what a contrast, huh?
Jackson 5 was the Michael Jackson and Jackson 5 was the first real like seed, and then the second one was Metallica.
Okay,
but Metallica felt like the first thing that I found.
Okay,
you know?
Yeah.
And then I was like 15, 16. I got into hip hop.
Okay,
and that was like Miami's massive influence in terms of music. Miami has a very rich black music history, black American music. Before like Latin people started migrating there, it was really rich in like soul and funk music.
Okay,
so,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, big time. From the 60s through the disco era of the 70s, TK Disco is like a Miami-based record label that did a lot of disco records, a lot of releases. And then in the 80s, hip-hop became big with 2 Live Crew and then like that kind of booty bass sound that now Miami is like synonymous for. So like that was something that I had no idea in Chicago. And then I get to Miami and it's on the radio. People are blasting it in their cars. You're going to parties, seventh grade, eighth grade, the music blasting.
Oh my God.
And the culture of people, the way they're acting too, is something that kind of took me off guard, because in Schaumburg, I was in sixth grade and I remember the last day of school, I found out the coolest kid in my sixth grade class was dating this other girl. And I had no idea because I never saw them hold hands or kiss or anything.
Yeah.
3 months later, I'm starting my first day of school in Miami. And my mom is walking me to my first class, and I'm nervous.
Yeah, of course.
You know, like, I'm afraid, I'm nervous. And I'm seeing couples, like, holding hands and making out, grabbing each other's, you know,
yeah,
butts.
Grabbing themselves.
Yeah, you know, and I'm like, what the hell? You know, it was like total, like, day and night contrast, you know?
Okay.
So, yeah, that music,
wow.
I think the music and the way people acted with one another was, like, a massive influence on me, because in a way I was always kind of shy, but the music kind of brought it out.
Yeah, of course. And then it comes, like, the New York part.
The New York part.
So that's another like kind of transformation, another meeting with another kind of environment, musically speaking.
Yeah.
What happened
there?
When was that? I mean, it would be nice if you make like the contrast between Miami and New York.
Well, definitely. Around the same time I started getting into hip hop music, I started getting into films. Specifically, the films of New York filmmakers like Spike Lee, Martin Scorsese, John Cassavetes, Brian De Palma, like a bunch of they made a lot of New York centric films, The Godfather, even though, you know, it's like old school New York. And that they provided like a picture of what New York City was. And on top of that, I'm a huge Chicago Bulls fan, and the Bulls and the New York Knicks were rivals in the mid-90s, you know? So I would see New York through that window, and then when I got into hip-hop music, I felt like I was like listening to like, and most of the hip-hop I loved was from New York, Brooklyn specifically, but also the Bronx, Queens, Uptown, you know? And I felt like New York City was this like, I can never survive in New York. New York was rough, and you know, I'll get my ass kicked in New York, and people would bully me there, you know? And I wound up moving there to become a filmmaker. I thought I was going to be a filmmaker when I first moved here.
Yeah, and I read something about that.
Yeah, in 2002, I thought I was going to be the Latin American version of Spike Lee.
Oh my God.
That's what I wanted to be, at least.
You know? Yeah.
But it's so hard. If you're not wealthy in the sense that you can afford, like if your parents can pay for your rent and shit, and you can afford to intern on a film, then
or
you could get in the film business.
Yeah, okay,
but I could never afford to do that.
That's the way it is.
Yeah. Or if you have someone that can get you in for a paid job. So I can never get in, so I want to work in TV. I want to work in advertising.
Like the commercial things, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, not so fun, so much fun?
No, soulless.
No creative.
Soul-sucking.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Understand.
So the music thing, it kind of happened in a weird way because my dad passed away in 2000, and you know how it goes with you're growing up, you try not to listen to the music your parents listen to.
Yep.
And then he passed, and I'm in New York, and in New York is where the first time I saw like Latin people my age embracing the roots.
The roots, of
you know?
Course. Uh-huh.
And New York in general embraces the roots.
In Miami doesn't happen that? You didn't see that you saw here in New York, for example?
Not as a community.
Okay.
In a whole. Okay. So here, like, I feel like everyone's Latin, and we just look for the majority. I would say the majority of Latin people here in New York City, whether you're in Queens, the Bronx, Brooklyn, Uptown, or you know the city, I feel like there is more solidarity amongst different Latin people from different countries. Where in Miami, you have it, but you have it on a much more. It's on their families and the friends of families.
Okay,
but people there are on some like. Puedes hablar con él, pero ten cuidado porque es mexicano.
Okay,
on some shit like that. Yeah. People start judging me on what country you're from. Oh, you're from that country? Oh, well, we speak Spanish better than you. You know, there's like this weird competition thing, you know, that I kind of felt like I grew out of in over there. So when I came here, that was what I felt I wanted to be a part of.
And you felt like part of something.
Yeah.
Also, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I felt like I was one of many Latin people that come here from a different city or different country, and
with
they come to New York
with ideals and, you know,
with goals in mind and dreams, and they want to see how they. I wanted to tell a story. Like before, that's why I was in filmmaking.
Yeah.
And before I was in, when I was like 15, 14 years old, I wanted to be like a play-by-play announcer for baseball games.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
So I would just.
Actually, you have a really nice voice. I mean, I'm listening to you on the headphones, and yeah, like a broadcaster.
Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah,
Was so paranoid. I hated hearing my voice for really? A long, long time. Yeah.
Good voice.
Yeah, thank you, bro. Thank you. So maybe now I'll get into it in my 50s.
It's never too late, man. So you were saying.
So yeah, so like I always wanted to tell a story, and I think the filmmaking part led to the music, because while I was working in advertising, I made the most money I ever made in my life, and I basically was able to afford to buy turntables and a mixer and some records. And the first records I started to get were like these New York City boogaloo and salsa records from like the 60s and the 70s. Something that was like New York, you know? And while it wasn't something I heard my parents listen to growing up, I felt like this was a part of my own because I found it.
Yeah.
And this is also part of like my culture, even though I'm not Puerto Rican and I'm not from New York. I'm like,
you're
this
Latino.
Is Latin. Yeah. So I feel like my parents, if they were to hear this, they would dig it.
Okay.
You know?
Okay. Yeah, of course.
So that's, I think, how I kind of what I think like my dad passing away, wanting to connect with that. You know, not wanting to lose touch completely with like my roots.
I understand. So that's when you started like buying records, getting interesting into Latin music, and buy actually records, not only digitally.
Yeah.
That's when it happened.
Yeah, like 2007, 2008, I started buying records.
Okay.
And
just do you remember your first record or your first bunch of records? Or
for sure the first record. It was Subway Joe by Joe Batan.
All right. Yeah.
Subway Joe by Joe Batan, the king of Latin soul.
Oh my God, he's great. We love him too.
He's such an inspiration. But that first record I remember at Academy, the old Academy in Williamsburg. The record is of him hugging the subway like lamppost.
Yeah.
He's hugging it, and it's just New York, and he's like in Midtown, like near Times Square, and it was just I just need to hear this, you know. And it was everything I thought I was going to hear, and at the same time, it was unlike anything I'd ever heard, you know, because I really didn't know what Boogaloo was.
Yeah, of course.
Point, you know?
A lot of people didn't know, and we should make like a show about Boogaloo. I know you play a lot of Boogaloo, and it has a really interesting story, short story.
Yeah.
But really like a lot of things going on.
Big time.
But Mickey, talking about records, we asked you to bring a couple of records, or specifically one.
Okay.
One record that you like, it's one of your favorites in your collection, and we could listen to it, and you could talk about that record.
Okay.
So I'm going to put Quitareste.
Okay.
Take it out. And what did you bring? Let us know.
I brought, this is a recent favorite, but I know that I'm going to be playing this record for the next like 10, 20 years.
So it became an essential.
Yeah. But this became an essential. I feel like you'd get to trust a record more when you play it outside of the city that you're used to playing in a lot. And I got it in Miami. And I played it in Mexico and trying it out. And then it worked well over there. And then when I brought it back here, it was even, you know, better, So, yeah, the record is by Sonora Dinamita. And the song is called La Cumbia Nació en Barú.
La Cumbia Nació en Barú, en Cartagena.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. ¿Y tienes una canción en especial que
La Primera.
La Primera.
The album cut.
Que es el cover.
Yeah.
La Cumbia Nació en Barú. Estuviste en Cartagena, ¿verdad?
Sí.
Okay.
Sí.
¿Qué te llamó la atención de este disco? ¿Qué?
Bueno, primeramente, the title of the album.
Ah, espérate un momento, le tengo que subir el volumen porque si no, no suena. Un momento. Estamos aquí en el Sony Cycle Record Spin. Estoy con Mickey Pérez. Y estamos escuchando a 33 Revoluciones, por favor. El favorito, uno de los favoritos de Mickey. La Sonora Dinamita, la cumbia. Ahora sí. I'm gonna put it up a little and then you talk about it.
Sure.
Cumbia nació en Barú, la cumbia nació en Barú, la cumbia barulera.
Skipping.
Con sonido de grillo y cadera, con sonido de.
Well, it skips because when you see this interview, we're broadcasting live the audio part, the radio part, but this interview is gonna be on YouTube. You're gonna see the video, and we have a little like home. Turntable, so the needle is very delicate, so maybe that's why it skips, but I see the record in pretty good shape, though.
Yeah. It's just one part in the beginning there where it skips.
Oh, okay, okay, okay.
But this part...
Listen to it. Cumbia. La cumbia nació en Barú. ¿Estuviste en Cartagena, Miki?
Sí, sí.
Okay. ¿Y tuviste algún contacto con la gente, la cumbia allá? ¿Te acercaste a esto?
A la cumbia no necesariamente en particular, pero conecté con la gente claro. De allá. Creo que tú fuiste que me conectaste con Efraín,
sí,
¿no?
Sí, claro, claro.
Sí.
¿Tuviste la oportunidad de pinchar discos allá?
No pude porque la cosa que él sacó conmigo en la playa, creo que fue como una playa, lo íbamos a hacer el día que llegué allá y cuando llegué me lo cancelaron.
Oh.
Porque no había mucho tiempo para promover la cosa y todo eso.
It happens. So tell me about this this record. Where did you get it? Why did you get interested in it? Did you know the song before or you just discovered it?
I did not, but I'm a huge Sonora Dinamita fan and there's another couple songs from them that I play a lot. So
okay.
It's just one of those general rule of thumbs.
Any
record you see from a band that has already done something that you love,
yeah,
you have to listen to it.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
The cover for
it's beautiful,
you know, and then the album title, you know, like La Cumbia Nació en Barú. It's, you know, like they're telling a historical lesson. You
yeah,
know?
Definitely.
So that's if you can make a song like the perfect song, it's something telling a history about the culture in one way, shape, or form, like the real history, you know, and it's funky as hell. And
yeah.
It makes people get down. Like those three things, you combine into one and you have the perfect song. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah, yeah.
So I heard that song. The first time I put it on, I found it in Found Sound Records in Miami.
Okay.
And the first time I heard it, it was just like, oh, yeah, without
I'll
question.
Take it.
Absolutely.
The first one was the one you
yeah.
listened to?
Yeah.
Okay.
And because that skip happens in the beginning of the song,
yeah.
I wind up jumping up a little bit.
Okay.
So I wind up, so I can mix it instead
yeah, yeah,
of just
yeah.
playing it from the beginning. And it winds up working out really well. And
okay.
yeah, that song, I mean, you know how when you find certain records, you think you like them, then you get home, you listen to it, and you're like, I don't know what I was listening to, you know?
Yeah.
Then there's others that you know immediately are going to be your favorites for many years. And this was the latter.
All know? Right. La Sonora Dinamita, estamos en el Sony Cycle Record Spin con Miki Pérez.
Con mi larga cabellera te cubriera hasta el cogote. Que lo tienes colorado, que lo tienes repelado. Que lo tienes repelado, que lo tienes colorado. Colorado, colorado, repelado, repelado. Para todos los calvos con la Sonora Dinamita. Porque eres un vello del talón hasta el cuello. Que la tiene colorada, que la tiene repelada. Que la tiene repelada y que la tiene colorada. Y colorada y colorada tu cabeza colorada. Repelada y repelada tu cabeza repelada. Yo te voy a regalar, papito, un peluquín. Yo te voy a regalar, papito, un peluquín. Para tapar tu cabeza y te veas de botín. Para tapar tu cabeza y te veas de botín. Que la tiene colorada, que la tiene repelada. Repelada y repelada tu cabeza colorada.
Okay, okay. Estamos escuchando el clásico, clásico de discos Fuentes, La Cumbia Nació en Barú. Uno de los discos favoritos de nuestro invitado de hoy, Miki Pérez, uno de los DJs, coleccionistas, melómanos más activos de la escena neoyorquina. ¿Hace cuánto estás así con una actividad importante antes de que todo esto sucediera? Cuando digo todo esto, ya la gente sabe que es el COVID, y el lockdown and everything. How long has it been here in New York?
I've been in New York since 2002, but DJing since 2008.
Okay.
And full-time since, like, 2010. But I would say I was collecting unemployment when I first started full-time. So okay. I'll say full-time, 2011.
Okay.
So that's 9 years where I'm basically playing, you know, 3 to 6 nights a week.
Yeah.
No one knew me. I didn't have any contacts. I didn't have any ins at any places. So I thought the best way to, like, make my name for myself is to just play all the time.
Yeah, of course. Know?
Let's make play as much as possible, and you get better the more you play.
Yeah,
you
know? Of course. And in being getting better, you got in contact with Fania Records. You got a project with Fania Records. How was that? How did you get involved with them? And what did you exactly do if you were still working with them?
I got put in touch with them through Rio Bamba. Shout out to Rio Bamba, DJ Rio Bamba.
Yeah.
She worked with them, and they were doing a series of these parties called Armada Fania. And they were doing them for about 8-9 years. And she reached out to me via email to open, essentially. So I did that, and then they invited me to do another one, and I did that one. The second one was for Kenny Dope. I opened for Kenny Dope, which was kind of like a dream come true. He's like a New York City house music master, you know. And then after the second one, I approached them about, they asked me if I produced, and I told them that I did, and I was totally lying, you know. And they're like, oh, well, we'd love for you to remix like some songs if you're interested. And I thought, like, well, man, if they're not gonna, you know, put me on for gigs all the time, the next best way I could do it is if I start, like, you know, maybe do this remix stuff.
Yeah.
So I asked two friends of mine if they could help me, just school me on like how to learn fast as possible. And I wound up signing a deal with them to do an EP, a 6-song EP.
Okay.
And then maybe a month after I signed with them, they got bought out by Concord Music Group. And everything that they agreed on with the producers and the DJs that joined the collective. So I joined the collective, and a month later, like, oh, hey, nothing's happening.
And sorry, goodbye.
Yeah, basically.
Oh, my God.
So I played, like, 3 parties, and then that was it. And then
now
they... I mean, we stayed in touch and all that stuff, but they were just going through so much change that they didn't really have anything concrete to do, and only since the pandemic they've recently started having DJs again, so I've done a couple live streams with them, and we got some things because they're based in Miami now.
Okay.
So, and I go to Miami usually.
But you're still in contact with them. It's gonna be more work with them.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you like it? What do you think of Fania? I mean, Fania is like the biggest, you know, Latin music record label. It has a lot of stories. But what's your personal things of the record label? Do you like working with them?
Totally. I haven't had. I mean, obviously, it isn't the same Fania from like the golden era,
because
there's no Jerry Masucci, and then, you know, but it's a totally new,
like Fuentes.
Yeah, it's a totally new group of people, you know. But yeah, I don't have any bad experiences with Fania now. I mean, what they mean to me in terms of before, you know, you told me when I started DJing that I was gonna eventually sign on with Fania to do an EP, even if it wasn't gonna happen. I would have told you you're bullshitting, you know,
of course.
And the first thing I ever saw from them was the documentary, Nuestra Cosa.
Yeah.
And that I felt like Fania was just like New York City Latin life.
Yeah.
You know?
It was a good step for a DJ, though. I mean, it's a great thing to do. What's the plan, Mickey, if we can have a plan right now? But what do you think, how do you see yourself in mediano plazo?
Mm.
What's your plan as a DJ with music, since all the changes that we've having right now? What do you think is gonna happen in a near future?
Well, on the DJing front, live music front, I think, like, for New York City, I think, like, until it gets cold, we're gonna see, hopefully the numbers keep going down and we're doing good, and then maybe things might open up a little more where we can do some like kind of outdoor events to probably play at, you know, with bands also. I do think once October, November hits, businesses might have to get creative in how they're gonna keep people coming, because no one hangs outside when it's cold, you know?
Of course.
Even if you have like space heaters all over the place. So I don't know, I worry about that. What I'd like to think is that, you know, by some grace of God, we're going to have like a cure or something, or a vaccine, so that, you know.
Yeah, okay.
But with this government, I don't know. But
in November, we're going to know.
I feel like by April or May of next year might be when things might start opening up for us on what we're used to. in the meantime, I feel like, at least myself, I, you know, all my money was made through DJing, and, you know, I'm trying to diversify in terms of, like,
yeah,
making edits now that I have the time to do it. I'm in the process of launching a podcast with two very close friends.
Okay.
About nightlife in New York City. So I think the key is kind of diversifying.
Diversifying.
And continuing to do live streams. And yeah. I actually do have two. I'm playing outside next week for the first time. And I'm like a little nervous about it, to be honest with you. Because, I mean, I've been playing all the time but like in front of people and all that stuff. I'm like.
It's kind of crazy for these times. But anyways, all right.
Yeah. So I think, you know, the got to just do as many things as possible right now, you know?
Just keep the music going, man.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right.
You're still buying records?
I have not been able to buy records in 5 months, man.
Oh, my God.
My money's been really tight.
Yeah, I
know.
For a lot of us. Yeah,
yeah.
I know.
So that's until record stores open and I could trade records in,
yeah,
I'm kind of stuck with what I got.
Yeah.
Which is cool because...
It must be a lot, though.
It's enough.
It's like a good opportunity to, you know, recheck some records.
Absolutely.
That you, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right. There's so many... If I had the money, let's just say, and I've been buying records, there was been so much music from my own collection that I wouldn't have discovered or been like, oh, wow.
Like,
I heard it, but I hadn't heard it in, like, in 5 years.
Because,
you know, your ear evolves.
Yeah, it evolves.
You know?
Yeah, it changes. Okay, so we're going to have a set, a Mickey set. What did you bring to make a set? It's going to be kind of like a 50 minutes and an hour set. What did you bring today?
Well, man, I wanted to rep Colombia today.
All right.
I brought just Colombian heat.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That is awesome.
I hope that's cool.
That is awesome, man.
Yeah, man.
Well, we are the Sony Cycle Record Spin, the Patio Edition, and Mickey Perez is right here with us. He's going to give us 1 hour of crazy, great Colombian music. And thank you, Mickey.
Of course, man. Thank you. Appreciate it. Big time, man.
Great. So nice talking to you and getting to know a little bit of your story.
Likewise, man. Thank you for having me and anytime.
Yeah, right. Okay, people, so we're going to have this record going around while Mickey gets ready on the turntables. And this is the Sony Cycle Record Spin Patio Edition. And, well, we're live broadcasting from Forest Hills, Queens. I'm going to say it again. We're broadcasting live from Forest Hills, Queens, en la ciudad de Nueva York, New York City. Los Herederos, transmitiendo en vivo a través de Radio Mixticius.
We are pleased to announce that through August 2nd, 2020, the Sony Cycle Record Spin is powered by Citizens Committee for New York City via their All in the Neighborhood COVID-19 Relief Grant Program.
This is the Sony Cycle Record Spin. Los Herederos. Inheriting culture in the digital age.